Green light? All right. Sounds better, right? Well, it's been quite a weekend so far, hasn't it? Started off with the shock of the home calling of our brother Bob DeVozzo. Remember, you know, I was at work and received the email, and I just sort of stared at it in shock. You know, we think of our soldiers, you know, this Memorial Day weekend, but there's also soldiers of the cross. There's brothers and sisters who have left this land and have gone to the Ukraine in the former Soviet Union, and they're ministering the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And our brother fell while he was mentoring a young man at a McDonald's, of all places. So there's many who've given their lives for our country, and we're very, very thankful this Memorial Day. First thing Aria did when she got up this morning, she got the flag and put it out. You know, I'm putting the flag out, you know. And we've taught her, you know, we've taught our kids as I was taught by my father. But we can't forget as well those who are in the, and that's really all of us, who are in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, where his kingdom is, and will break in to this world, actively challenging the satanic kingdom. And a few weeks ago when I spoke on not my will, but thine, the great words that the Lord Jesus spoke in the garden at Gethsemane, and we'll just have a short review of that, if this goes on. Oh, there we go. There we go. Now, Brad, did you do that or did I do that? I did that. Okay. All right. Well, the last time I spoke, it was on the subject of not my will but thine, of yours. The words of the Lord in the garden that James read. And we summed it up with these words here. Thank Christ for bearing your sin and suffering separation from the Father. This morning, John and Damon spoke somewhat of that, of receiving Christ. And if you're here today and have not received Christ, if you're not sure of your salvation, this is the time to recognize your need of the Savior. Read Matthew 26. What the Lord Jesus did was not easy. It was difficult. Even though he is the Son of God, or God the Son, become man and walking through this life, when he got to the garden, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, it was difficult for him. All the things that he would have to endure, the sin that he would have to carry, though he did it joyfully, it doesn't mean it wasn't a trial for him. But he did it for you. He did it for me. So recognize your need of the Savior. God calls all people from every nation, tribe, and tongue to turn to him, to recognize your need, because you're a sinner, separated from God because of your sin. And the end result is a lost eternity, hell. So you're called to, once you recognize your need of the Savior, you're called to repent. We're called to repent. Our brother repented. I repented that day in September of 1980. Different dates for some of you. Maybe you don't even remember. The date isn't important. What's important is that you did it. That you did it. That you repented. You said, yes, God, I need you. I can't do it on my own. I can't save myself. I can't even live my life without messing everything up. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to open up our mind, to make us sensible to reality. And when we're sensible to reality of our need of the Savior, we fall and we repent, or however you did it. There's no way to do it. Cry out to God and ask for Him to save you. And receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. If you believe, if you call out to Him, He will not turn you away. He will receive you. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, sons and daughters of God, even to those who believe on His name. So do it today. We also ask that you take spiritual inventory and determine what changes are necessary. The Lord said, not my will, and we have to ask ourselves, is there something that the Lord is calling us to do, but our wills are standing in the way? Well, we need to say, not my will, but yours be done. Repentance happens as salvation, but it's also something that we live. We're continually turning from ourselves and turning to God. And then, along with this, is God calling you to make a difficult, not my will, but your will decision? We need to think about that. And we need to evaluate all the time. That's one of the glories of being here every Lord's Day, examining yourself before God, before you partake of the bread and of the cup, of the wine, of the juice. It helps us to reorientate ourselves as to the direction we should be going in. So this morning, watch and pray, the second half of our Lord's experience, if you would, at the Garden of Gethsemane. Just so that we're on the same page with how I'm looking at the terms, watch, and you know, the Lord told Peter, James, and John to watch and to pray lest you enter into temptation. Watch for them and for us meant to look, to be aware of the situation around them. They should have known, based on what the Lord had been telling them, that what was coming upon Him, the Son of Man was going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. And it's not going to be easy for you. So you need to pray. And also, the Lord set them apart as leaders. We'll talk about that a little bit. So it was important for them to see the example of our Lord Jesus, see what He did. And not only that, watch and pray for themselves. And for us, for positive and dangerous opportunities that should lead us to pray, to serve, or even to flee, to avoid falling. And then pray. Pray for the strength to resist temptation during that struggle. And then temptation here is going to mean the thoughts placed in our minds, whether by the devil, the flesh, or the world, that can lead us to sin. And we have to be aware of these things. We really have to be conscious of what's going on in our lives. Okay. Now for Peter, James, and John, why were they brought into this intimate moment with the Lord? You know, we know the Lord included them on special events to bring them for ministry once He left, to prepare them for ministry once He left for heaven. This is the principle we talk about in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 about preparing people and getting them ready to serve and then continuing this process. This is what we do here at Dunning Park. We follow this example of the Lord Jesus. People who are involved in ministry bring others along with them so that they can learn and that they can go and teach others. Some of these things that the Lord brought them specially for, Mark chapter 5, the raising of the synagogue's official's daughter, they saw that. Matthew 17, they saw the transfiguration. They saw, you know, Philippians chapter 2 talks about the glory of the Lord being veiled. Well, they saw that unveiling. And they saw Moses and Elijah as well. And Peter spoke of it again, didn't he? In, what was it, 2 Peter chapter 1. And then here at the Garden of Gethsemane, they saw God the Son of God, the one they knew to be so strong and so powerful that he had power over nature, he had power over sin, he had power over disease, he had power over the demons. They saw him in sorrow fall to the ground, his soul exceedingly troubled. What did they think when they saw that? This was a huge situation that was going on here. But in spite of their privileged position to see all these things and to learn and to have an impact, they fell asleep. They fell asleep. But if... Oops, I need to go back one. Did that take me back? Okay, very good. So, if they had watched and prayed, what may have happened? Well, maybe the Lord would have received some encouragement to strengthen his soul in a dark moment. Peter, James, and John may have avoided the temptation of doubt when the women came back from the tomb and said that the tomb was empty. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. Maybe they could have overcome that temptation, but our point is not to condemn them, of course. We know better than that. And we would probably fare a little better. Okay? But we need to learn and apply principles. We need to learn from their example. We need to learn from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, okay. The background, what was going on here? This was huge spiritual warfare going on at the Garden of Gethsemane. And we ourselves are involved in a huge spiritual warfare as well. But we, if you've ever read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, you know, we don't get the attention of Satan. We don't get the attention, I'm sure, of the upper level of his demonic hosts, you know. But here in the Garden, they did. This was a situation where Satan took personal control of the temptations leading up to Gethsemane. And we know from our reading of the Scriptures that he worked actively to deter Christ from the cross. The temptation in Matthew chapter 4. And remember, Satan is a usurper. We can read Isaiah 14:16 in that area, Ezekiel, and so on, of just the heart of Satan. He wanted God's throne. He wanted to be the God of heaven. Well, he didn't get the God of heaven. He got, in his mind at least, the God of this world. What Satan tries to do is mimic everything that God is. And he's full of pride, and you saw that at Matthew chapter 4. I'll give you this whole world. Was it his to give? Was it his to give to the Son of God? He's a liar. He's a liar. And then he said, turn this rock into bread. Then jump from the temple and that. He tried everything he could to persuade, to deter the Lord. The numerous attempts on the life of the Lord as you go through the Scriptures. Every time they picked up the stone, remember John chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. They wanted to pick up the stones and stone him right then and there. But he escaped. That's all satanic activity, trying to stop him from doing what he had been called to do and what he himself wanted to do. Next, he tempted and manipulated Judas in John 13 and verse 2. He also demanded permission to sift Peter like wheat in Luke chapter 22. He wanted to get at the Lord any way that he could. Remember the personal plea from Peter in Matthew chapter 16. No, Lord, this can't happen to you. You can't be delivered up into the hands of sinners. Well, that affected the Lord. Remember, he was a man too. God, man. He was subject to temptation. Never sinned, but he was subject to temptation. So much so, he had to say to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He recognized that Peter was being influenced by Satan. The Lord was actively opposed by Satan every step of the way. So it is any wonder that Peter, James, and John fell prey to this and they fell asleep. Because that's one of the things that happens. Ever try to pray in the morning or in the evening and fall asleep? Can't do it? You know? I mean, certainly there's things with our nature and the need for discipline, you know, and all this stuff as well. But Satan does not want you to pray because God hears prayer. And if you pray, you're going to be empowered and you're going to make an impact on this world. And Satan does not want that. So what happened to Peter, James, and John happens to us. So spiritual warfare is something that goes on, and it's something that we need to be aware of. As the Lord was aware for them in the garden, we need to be aware. We need to be aware that Satan perverts the leading of the Holy Spirit from watch and pray to pride, lust, and bitterness. Okay? And we need to really take account, and we really need to examine our lives at various opportunities. You know, men, women, whomever, the temptation to lust. You know, you see, you have a friendship or something, there's the possibility of it going too far. These things happen. People fall. But before that happens, you go through it in your mind. You ever consider that maybe the Holy Spirit is asking you to pray for that person? But the devil, your flesh, the world has perverted that, and you spend all this time thinking about, you know, these horrible things, but really it's a perversion of what the Holy Spirit wanted you to do, to pray for that person. So we need to be aware of that. And for that person, do you ever think of praying for their holiness, praying for their relationship? Well, that'll put an end to the temptation. Satan, I'm sure, or his demons, or your flesh, will want you to move on. But if you endure, you will have accomplished something. So we got to try to beat the devil at his own game. When he's trying to destroy us, we need to be taking heed and watching and recognizing what these things are. You know, if you're tempted to hate someone, if you're working with someone and you really don't like that person, it's so easy to think, this is how I'm going to get back at him, blah, 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 blah. You know, all these things go through your mind. Well, watch. Remember Habakkuk, right? He was watching. We need to watch. When that happens, let's pray for that person. Let's pray that the Lord changes their heart. And you know what happens sometimes? You get your heart changed because maybe you had a wrong attitude. I know that's happened to me many times when I've been angry at someone and I started to pray about it. Now, don't get me wrong. I've spent too much time on the other path as well, of hating and of bitterness and this kind of thing, until the Lord brings me to repentance. And maybe you've experienced that too. But turn it around. Turn it around on the devil. Break into his kingdom. You know, don't let him have that victory. So watch the thoughts that come into your mind. Okay? Be aware of these perversions. And some dangerous things, you're reading them up there. One-liners that are designed to... One-liners that are designed to hurt people, those are right out of the devil's playbook. You know, I've recognized that in my life, and I'm sure you have too. And I'm sure that the things that I'm talking to you about, You've heard them before. But we need to be reminded of them because we forget. So much goes on in this world that would draw us from the Lord Jesus, that the importance of coming here on Lord's Day to be reminded, you know. So watch out for those one-liners or gaining revenge on a boss or coworker and tell them what you think. How many people have done that and are out looking for a job or have really damaged their relationship with a spouse? That could be the straw that breaks the camel's back, as it were. How many relationships have been brought to an end? There was a terrible burden. People were trying to keep it going. One more comment, you know, you've exactly proved my point. It's all over. You know, right out of the devil's playbook, he's been successful with it for years. And we need to be aware, and we need to turn that around and turn them into opportunities for prayer. You know, Satan has been teaching principles of human destruction for eons. He's very successful at these things. And marriages are especially vulnerable. We have so many helps available to us, not only here at Dunning Park, but in the body of Christ as a whole. And we need to be aware. We need to guard. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our family. We need to guard everything that the Lord has entrusted to us. Because if Satan gets a hold and he breaks, it affects. You know, some people believe the lies, well, if we break up, it'll be better for the children. Is it better for the children? Some of you, perhaps, are victims of a divorce. And what do kids wonder? What did I do wrong? Maybe you've heard that before. And what does it lead them to? These are all lies of the devil to help you do what he wants you to do. Now, sometimes you have to make that decision for a divorce. And that's a terrible thing, but sometimes you got to do it. Okay? But we need to be aware that there's things that can be done to save and to strengthen marriages as well. And that's why we need to take counsel. You need to take counsel of elders or of counselors that the Lord has set in place. And if you need that, talk to Mr. Pierce, you know, Bruce Calderwood or somebody. It can lead you in the right direction. Okay, there's help. So be aware of what Satan's trying to do. And one of his most destructive actions is... And we need to be so aware of reasonings that allow you to sin because God will forgive. You ever hear, you know, you get these atheists out there, or you get people who hate God, they want to mock. They'll say, well, it's my job to sin and it's God's job to forgive. You know, and you make light of that whole situation. Maybe you've heard that before. But I tell you, too many of us have gone down that path at one time or another. And it takes years to turn around, perhaps. Days, months, years from that decision. And we need to be aware that is another way that Satan tries to destroy us. Just giving into that sin. Giving once, twice, whatever. Pretty soon you have a habit. And you're hiding it, you're spending money, and it gets exposed and it blows up and you know what happens, some of you more than the rest of us. But at the end, remember, with those sins, you can find rescue to be very difficult. Remember Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What did the Apostle Paul say? God forbid. I like the King James when it comes to that. But may it never be. Don't do it. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein it? You know, oftentimes, as the Lord said here, when he came back, after he told the apostles to watch and to pray lest they enter into temptation, he came back and he saw them sleeping. Can't you stay awake with me for 1 hour? And he said to them at another point, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to be aware of that. We need to be aware Satan and his hosts have led many into addictions that they find impossible to escape. It's not that it's impossible to escape. It's once you give in to those temptations, then the devil flips it around. Oh, look what you did. You rejected God. Then all the guilt comes. There's no hope for you. That's another lie. There is hope. There is hope. Can you imagine what Peter went through after he denied the Lord the third time? He probably thought it was curtains. He probably thought it was over for him. And I'm sure the devil tried to play the same games with him that he played with Judas. And he got Judas to commit suicide. Different situations. But when you're in despair and you have a lot of guilt, that's when Satan hits you. That's when the flesh hits you. That's when the world hits you. So we have to be aware. If you're in a situation like that, it's not impossible to escape. You know, we were talking to the Lord, Bob was talking to the Lord's Supper. How often do we sin? You know, we sin a lot, but the Lord comes alongside of us. He knows our frame. He knows we're but dust. He knows that we're weak. And He seeks to restore us. He's given us a promise, the pledge of the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't have given that to us if we were weak and able to do it on our own. It's all of grace. It's all of grace because we can't. There's grace and mercy and peace. We can't do it. We have to be sustained by Him. He ever lives to make intercession for us. So don't fall into that lie. But better yet, don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. It's easy to say, but we need to be aware. We need to be aware. And what you can do, claim the promise out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. Sometimes we feel we can't get out of it. You know, we have to do it. It's sort of like you're on a rapids and you're just being pulled, being pushed toward the waterfalls. But there is a way of escape with God. But it's a question of faith. Are you willing to claim the promise? And so often I haven't. But so often I have too. And that's how we are. That's the human experience. That's the Christian experience. We fall, the Lord picks us up. He's always faithful to do that. He's not looking to destroy us. He is looking to build us up. We are the people He has chosen to affect this world. Okay? Remember Joseph. You know, Joseph didn't stay there with Potiphar's wife and try to reason with the situation. If she would have got him in an embrace, it probably would have been all over. That's why he ran. That's why he ran. Because he knew himself. He knew what could happen. And we have to take the ways of escape that the Lord gives us, even if it's humiliating. Even if it's humiliating. That's how much value we have to put on this precious gift that the Lord has given to us. So remember Joseph, claim the promises, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. All right, at this point, we're going to have a song. Call up the singers to do that.